Thank you.
We're going to go to item number two quickly. Are there any members of the board who have a conflict on any agenda items?
No.
So do declare that now. I see none. We'll move to item number
three. Mr. Chair, could I
just
make a recommendation to the board? I'd like to recommend a change in the agenda, order of the agenda, and I'd like to put item five up above the CDA discussion. I think that may have some implications in relevance to that discussion. So
yes, yeah, so I also think that's a good idea, because I know at least one other member of the board here may have to leave before we get to that. That's the most important issue on the item.
Well, Mr. Chair, I'd ask, is that item, can that item be tabled to our next month's meeting?
I do not believe so. I think that has to be, if we're going to entertain it, has to be statutory.
Yeah, if you read it, in order for us to schedule the meetings that we have to do with the councils and everybody that have to happen before October 1st, we kind of have to have that done, or else we're not going to be able to make the time frame that we have in order to get it noticed up and approved and everything that we do with that.
Okay.
All right, then let us take item number five, and that is the resolution regarding a property tax increase with subsequent budget years and explanation of the tax increase. We're being asked to adopt this. Scott, will you please take it over?
Yes, I will do what I can. Andrew is not able to be with us today because of a medical issue, but he did this write-up. This basically mirrors a lot of the work that was done in June and talked about in June and in May as we tried to look at projections and determine where we needed to go in the future. So the resolution that would be intended to be written here and adopted would be a 9.5% tax increase for 2017. And then thereafter to do a tax increase of not to exceed 4% to offset the inflationary increases that would be contained in the DPD contract. So we would be able to maintain the health of the fund balance and not have that decrease to a point where it becomes unmanageable. The time frame on this write-up is down near the bottom. Between August 22nd and September 13th, we need to visit with and each of the different councils. So that would be Harriman City, Riverton City, and the county council, to meet with them and get authorization to move forward with the property tax increase. Then on Thursday, September 15th, we would have our SLVISA meeting. On Saturday, October 1st, is the notification. That's a deadline. It can't be after that date or we miss our deadline to notify the county legislative body of the time of a public meeting, so on and so forth. I'm not going to read through all this stuff, but in order to meet the time frames of those meetings and get everything done, we really have to authorize this at this point in time. If we don't, we're going to miss the opportunity to do anything. Are there any questions? The dates, they continue back onto the back page of the write-up that we did on that in terms of the dates where we have to do various things. I'm not sure if there are specific questions or not. Between myself and Carl, we can probably answer most of what is asked, but I don't know if there is any specific questions.
Yeah, and this is a subject that we've dealt with on numerous occasions, including holding a workshop. So it's not a new issue. I think it's pretty clear what we're asking, and the explanation of why is, I think, well stated in the explanation of the tax increase, which will be published as well. And so unless there are specific questions, I think it's...
I've got a number. Is that okay if I take just a minute?
Sure, please. Uh-huh.
This is important for us as a city. We've looked at the projections, the spreadsheet that Andrew put together, and we look at the 9.5% going in 17 and then 4% for the 4 years after that, Harriman's fund balance will be in 30 or plus percentage. We've also put in there for 2017 two officers, 18, one officer, and then two more in 19. with the flexibility to add additional offers. And even with that, we still have a very, very healthy fund balance. And so I'd like today to get a commitment from members of the board to say you would be supportive. I know we can't commit future councils, but at least have a commitment that would help give us a sense of calm that, hey, we're moving in a good direction. If we can have somewhat of a verbal commitment, if our fund balance based on looking at the silo method is healthy for that municipality, that they would have the prerogative to say we'd like to have additional officers. So
now the mayor and I met last week. We discussed this, and I said, as far as I could tell, it looked like it was very workable, but I'd like to ask Scott his opinion as well.
My opinion, if it's the desire of the board to go down and look at it, you know, more in a bit of a silo method, as long as the mayor, you know, indicates this, as long as the individual silo of an entity is healthy, I see no reason not to be able to add additional resources, be it officers or equipment or other, you know, expenditures.
Right, and that kind of is the question, because it is heading towards the silo approach to this, and I want to know if you see any negative consequences from maybe taking this step. I mean, we.
I guess there's pros and cons to each method. So they've been, you know, talked over the course of many months. So I won't say that there's not a negative approach to using a silo method. But if the intent is to use a silo method, I see no problem with doing what you're recommending.
I don't think we're going to employ the silo method, but it's just a portrait to say, hey, where are we in terms of municipalities?
No,
that's all we're asking is.
The only negative that I could see is if the overall fund balance was not healthy, i.e. all the other partners were in a serious bad position. That would be the only caveat that I would throw out there that could be a potential downfall. But I think that the intent is the overall good health of the organization, with each individual silo being able to, you know, manage accordingly within that. So,
right. And go ahead.
I would just say I'm not a fan generally of the silo approach, because I think this organization has shown that we are better together, and on a year by year basis, the winners and losers may change depending on our individual, you know, makeup of our local economies and whatnot. And I do believe that over time it averages out, and the economies of scale and other factors that we all win in this collective approach. But I do think what I'm hearing from the mayor is we're not imposing a rigorous, shall not be violated silo approach, but it's a rough guideline to make sure that our partners are receiving value for their investment. And I think if it was a hard guideline, it could jeopardize our bond rating and other things. But I think as a loose guideline, I'm comfortable with it. And I think that the terms that Harriman City has proposed are reasonable and pretty fair. So I'm comfortable with what's laid out, and I'm comfortable giving my support as a commitment going forward.
Thank you.
Yeah, my interpretation was very similar to that this is an intense statement by Harriman saying, here's what we're contributing, here's what we project to be our needs, and there seems to be a marriage there. So, in that.
And we're going, as I mentioned last meeting, we're certainly going in. This is a cooperative agreement. We're working together, but we're just asking to give some consideration as not only our entity, you know, Mill Creek may come in here and, you know, they may have some, you know, claim to say, hey, we want more officers. So we just want to have that verbalized. I have a number of items on the resolutions and such. I wonder, is this an appropriate time to go over that?
I believe it would be.
Well, the one, the Salt Lake Law Enforcement Service Area, where we have a resolution, and it says subsequent budget years to match the annual inflationary increases. We've only agreed to 4%.
Is that in the preamble?
Yeah, it's the first resolution right under, I don't know, page. It's on page 9.
Yeah, it is in the preamble area up there at the top.
So the top heading where it talks about the match, I'm assuming it says subsequent budget years to match the annual inflationary increases. And I'd like to have, we've only agreed on the 4%.
The top is really descriptive as opposed to the binding provisions, which are down below.
Okay.
And down below, the only now therefore.
Okay.
It's limited to up to 4% to offset inflationary increases, so it can't be used for new services. It can only be used for the inflationary increases in the base that you're looking at this time.
Okay. I just want to make certain.
And then we can go back and add it back in the caption.
It might be. I'd rather do it just so there's no confusion. But on that now, therefore, also, it says the 4% for budget years 2018 and beyond. I think we've only come up to a five-year plan, as I understand. So and that would, I think, put us through, what, 2021? Is that the 5 years? So I think that was the agreement. Help me, counsel, I think we come forward with the presentation that we're going to have a five-year plan. So I'm not sure I want to commit 4% indefinitely. Let's do the five-year plan and we look at it. So,
and well, to that, Mr. Chair, I thought last meeting, Councilmember Jensen and myself, we wordsmithed this entirely differently because I was concerned and brought up the point that you can't bind future boards. So why are we even mentioning this? And I thought we had changed the language completely on this 4%.
I recall that conversation as well, and I thought that the change did acknowledge that it wasn't binding, but
it's subject to legislative approval, and then of the individual bodies, and then in those individual resolutions, there it's 4% subject to them being able to change their approvals at any point. So we attempted to capture that concept of it's still in the hands of the municipalities.
So today we're not voting on the adoption of this. That's in our November's meeting. This is just to move ahead with the noticing, correct?
It's a notice of a property tax increase, but you could still back away from that. So I think that what you're saying is accurate, I believe, because this is just a notice that with the intent that we're going to go to a certain level, and you can, between now and really, what is it, next August, really, I guess we can back off, right?
You can. On October 25th, which is the deadline for the next real step, you're going to have a clear definition of how much in dollars you intend to increase property taxes so that you can put it in the agenda language and you can use it as the basis for the individual mailings.
Okay.
So I guess I looked at all the resolutions, Harriman's, Riverton, and help correct me, but I thought we were only looking at a five-year plan, the 9.5% and then 4% for the succeeding 4 years. So and some of these it has in each subsequent year or beyond. I'm just wondering if some of these resolutions ought to be more specific as to what year these are going to cover up to 4%. And I think my idea was it was going to come back after that 5 years to, again, evaluate it.
Right, could go up to six.
Yeah, we could continue it on, but
it raises the same binding future councils
argument. Right.
Yeah. Carl, what do you recommend?
Still concerned.
If you want to limit it to 5 year period, I can do that. The city resolutions clearly provide that the city councils can change their mind in a year. They're all the county council.
I'm hearing from members of this board that they would probably like that a little more defined.
So you would like for the five-year period?
I thought that's what we had agreed, and I know it doesn't bind, but I think that we ought to have something in the resolution indicating that, so that if they want to overturn it, they can overturn it. But at least we have something on record that that's what we agreed.
And so you want to put something like the effect of for the period ending in 2021 or something.
4% was through 2021.
Every year there's an increase, you still have to go through the noticing. So right. I don't understand the point of even putting a number in there, other than just to signal that there may need to be inflationary adjustments, which is the language, again, I thought that Jensen and I put in. But
my understanding was that you wanted not only an inflationary adjustment limitation, but a hard cap of 4%.
Mariah, do we have minutes from that meeting?
Yes.
Do we have minutes of the language that Councilman Jensen and Stack recommended?
I don't believe we do.
We have the recordings, Dave. We can go back.
Could that might be useful if you could do that in the next day or two. Just go back and see what language was recommended. Because I think it was not, as I recall, it was not language that disrupted anything. So. do that.
We'll just make the motion that with the language from the other meeting, I guess. Because this is just a noticing thing. I mean, I've got similar concerns. I do prefer the siloed approach. I've seen, since 2012, you've seen the amount of tax revenue that's come in via siloed county actually only go up 2% over 4 years, whereas in Riverton, that's actually gone up 25%. So it hasn't been proportionally distributed, the cost increases, and that's without increasing one cop. We haven't had one new police officer until this now budget of three new officers for Harriman. So, my concerns going forward, and members of the board may know that our city council actually passed a resolution to pose the question to our voters at the next municipal general election pursuant to Title 17B to put this on the ballot as a ballot initiative so the voters can decide whether they are to remain in Solisa or not.
Whether they what?
They will remain in this service area or not. And so what I would like to see is a hard and fast that if we are going to stay, that if that we pursue that siloed approach, and if Riverton residents elect to leave next November, that any fund balance that we might have according to this siloed approach will actually carry with Riverton.
Well, I think that's probably a discussion for another day. I also think that...
Well, then I'd like to add it to an agenda, I guess is my point, between now and before the property tax is adopted.
And I think one of the, we talked about this a bit earlier, I think there's consequences to having a severe silo approach to this, and that I think we all ought to be aware of those consequences before we... right now, the way we're approaching this, we remain nimble in terms of being able to look at expenses and revenues and growth areas and service demands. And I would not want anything to take the ability to respond to those dynamics away from this board. And I think that if we become too strict, we may be harassing ourselves.
I think we need to go forward today. And I mean, to me, when we met in June, it was my understanding, as I sat here, we had a consensus that we were going to have 9.5%. And we were going to have 4% for the four subsequent years. And I thought that was the consensus of all of us. That's the way I've approached
that
it.
That is correct.
That's what we're planning on. And so I think from today, I'd like to get this out, get moving forward. We certainly know that the district desperately needs this tax increase for its viability. And we have concerns about allocation of officers. So we're very much want to move forward on this. So I don't know what you need. You need some kind of vote of approval to move forward.
We do on the current year amount, the 9.5% increase that's being proposed. The future year amounts, of course, are just in theory at this point in time. But we do need a vote on the tax increase that's recommended by the board going into next year, which I'm now referring to as the 9.5%, assuming that that's where we're agreeing in order to allow us to move forward with the process.
So a vote today is necessary to be able to publish the intent.
Notice.
All right. Now, the only thing I can see is a bit of a problem is the question of the language that was negotiated last meeting. How do we resolve that with a vote today, Carl?
As I understand, the areas that you're concerned about incorporating into this would be the hard cap of 4%, that it would be through 2018 through 2021, and that at least the caption of this resolution be amended to reflect the hard cap of 4% and also include budget years 2018 through 21 in there. At a minimum would reflect that. If there was additional language that we can pull out of the tape, we'll get that back in. If that's the substance of what you want, we'll prepare language that's consistent with that. But yeah, at least have those changes.
In my opinion, it's not going to do any good for us to do 9.5% and for whatever reason decide, hey, we don't want it more intact. We're going to see in the same trajectory going down. We'll get up healthy, and then I want us to get up healthy. I want us to, the district to have some consistent basis of a tax increase so we meet our inflationary needs and keep it viable and healthy. And so I'm absolutely unsupportive of just 9.5, and then we'll just deal with the next year. You know, either we're going to make the district viable, we're going to make it healthy, we're going to have moving it forward, or we're not. So that's where I'm. So what my feeling is, we need to have some substance in those resolutions saying, hey, you know, yes, we can't bind councils, but at least in an affirmative sense, we're saying this is where we look at the district and that's where we want to move it forward. So.
All right, with the intent that the language would reflect a hard cap of 4% and reference a five-year plan, I would entertain a motion to approve.
So moved.
Second.
I'd like to offer a substitute motion that we move to adopt the resolution 2017 notice property tax increase with the subsequent budget years and explanation of tax increase as was stated by council members Jensen and myself in our last meeting.
Then am I presuming then that what we've asked?
I don't think in the last meeting we had any mention about a 5 year. This year it was just frankly we'll look to it was basically giving direction that this board would look to cover any inflationary increases. And
your concern was
and
that
every
we
annual
can't
year,
bind future councils.
Correct. And every year
so
it's going to be an annual assessment anyway.
Would we find consensus if we said adopt the language about this year, that's really all that's needed right now, and adopt a legislative intent that we move forward with the 4% going forward, but that doesn't necessarily need to be part of the formal notice, but that's the legislative intent of this body today. Yeah. Would that, I mean, would that...
I think so. I mean, that's it's basically whatever the language was we said last time. I thought it was.
But I think the reason we did the four because we've said it's been a 3 to 4% cost of living.
But Mayor Freeman, it could be 6% next year. And to your point about viability, I don't think that at any rate. If you guys want to put a hard fast number in there, let's go ahead. Let's move on. I got a hard stop in 5 minutes.
I got a hard stop now, but yeah.
So where are we, John?
Well, I had a substitute
there's
motion
substitute
on the floor.
Motion is
there a second or
the
not?
Substitute motion. I see none, so we'll go back to the original motion, which is to adopt with the an attempt to provide the language that we've discussed, and Carl will see that that happens.
Okay.
All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? None. Thank you. Appreciate that.
I would add, I would be open. I think we're kind of under the gun right now, but I would be open. I'd like to see the language if we can, and maybe at the November time we can amend it to include your language. And you know, I prefer consensus-based decisions, especially you know with partners at the table. So
sure.
Maybe we can evaluate that and see if we can't find a way to have the final language that's adopted be something Councilman Staggs is more comfortable with.
Absolutely.
Is that okay?
You bet.
Yep. Recognize your concern. I can dial in if you want.
The other items that we're going to discuss the CDA, that does not take any action. The only other, you can be excused because we don't need your vote.
How about if we have a quorum?
Move to adopt the minutes.
We'll have a
second.
Quorum.
There's a motion to adopt the minutes and a second.
Yes. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
I'm familiar with the CDA as well. I've heard it in other contexts. So.
Okay.
Thank you.
Well, then let's go back to the item number 3, which is the Riverton Western Commercial District CDA. Now, let me say this, that Andrew Keddington, who provided this analysis and who is not able to be here today due to an illness, I think did a marvelous job in terms of discussing the impact, what it's all about, how it works, and also looking at how it affects the taxing district, and did not recommend that we accept the service level demand that was proposed, but provided a counter with the terms of CDA participation, which I thought were reasonable and showed a sensitivity to the needs of the organization and still allowed us to participate with Riverton in economic development. So in that regard, I thought it worked extremely well. And if you haven't had an opportunity to really read the report by Andrew, it was a marvelous piece, I thought. So we're going to open this up for any discussion. Scott, do you want to, or Zach, do you want to lead off, or we can ask for participation?
I'm probably not the one to lead the discussion.
Mr. Chair, Trent, you've got to leave in 2 minutes.
Yeah, what would you like to do, Trent?
Well, I just had a couple of questions in reviewing the documentation. So the numbers that were referenced, first of all, the project area in the issue paper here said 689 acres. It's actually 85 acres, correct?
No, the project area is 689, but the participation
is just
that we're asking
the 85.
For is in the 85.
Okay. The call data from Farmington says, from Station Park, you know, Center Cal's other development to the north, was analyzed. And then the next paragraph said, which call data was collected over, or says call data was collected over 4 years. Was that the data that we're talking about?
That is not the data that we were talking about here. We did this project based on many different ways of analyzing what the projected service level needs were. We did a previous Harriman CDA recently.
Yes.
And we used the exact same analytics for that, plus the addition of the Farmington station as...
Were the Farmington station numbers lower or higher than the...
They were actually lower due to the fact that they have their own private security.
Right.
And that is reflected in our analysis here, where we showed 4.38 officers using the analytics we used for Harriman, but then we took an officer off based on their private security force they will hire for.
It indicated in 2015, Riverton responded, on average, an officer to 277 calls.
Yes.
In the Harriman CDA, I think it was somewhere around 311. So why is there a differential? Is there a standard that we need to be using? If we're going to go back to the Slavisa board, the symposium we had, I thought that we were establishing metrics, and they even showed, by those numbers, surprisingly, that Riverton was some two officers oversubscribed. So
correct.
Now we're asking for 3.8 the service this area. I'm just curious as to how those numbers were ascertained.
So as we have done with the other CDAs, we try to separate the current allocations and the future need of the CDA separate. As things grow in areas, we try to not erode what is actually in the service area currently. As you know, if it's all dependent on what we see Riverton growing in the future, and as we've seen a lot of growth, we don't want to shortcut Riverton now and run into future problems. So,
but I think
really
that growth—I understand that—but I think that growth would actually be taken care of through other housing and other new growth that comes on in this Western Commercial District area. So, if we use the same numbers as Harriman at 311 calls per officer, we're actually at 1.5 instead of 2. And it would put the split, I think, more favorable. I have, and I've mentioned this before, I had a hard time with the Magna CDA that we did at 75-25. And in the county, we're able to go ahead and juice their economic development efforts, if you will, in a system that's not the same. So I know that Harriman came forth and they were fine with this 40-60. I was just looking at the numbers a little bit more closely in comparison with what they had, and I guess my only comment was there, if we ended up doing something closer to the 311 calls, that we could end up in more of a 50-50 type split arrangement.
I don't have
without I think compromising the service in the future years.
And that would be something we'd have to go back and look at as a staff.
Yeah, and I would obviously recommend we're going to do that.
Yeah,
because we're not.
Well, and this isn't up for action anyway today.
Yeah,
but
no, that's
I would
good point.
I would recommend that you do that.
But
working
let me,
with
let me
our,
just mention too, you know, in light, Trent, of the possible move out of the district, how does that impact your participation in the CDA? I think that's a question.
Well, yeah, if they left, this probably would not go into effect prior to when, assuming that, you know, Riverton would, you know, voted to go out of the district, this project would not come online prior to that.
Yeah, it shows year one, 2020. Is that right? So,
the question, I guess, can we, from a board perspective, vote on a CDA that may not be in existence there in a year, that they may go out of that district?
It would then fall out of our area, so it would, in a sense, become a non-issue, basically, at that point in time. So, the only thing that we probably would want to do is, like, look at out into the future, like, say, if in 10 years, if Riverton voted out of the district, you know, looking at whether we were in a positive or negative
sure.
place at that point in time. Those are the, some things that we would probably want to look at. But other than that, this vote, this proposed for basically a year from now, I don't think that's going to have any bearing, because it would either happen with Riverton being part of the district, or it would happen once Riverton left the district, and so it wouldn't really have a bearing.
But how does that affect your CDA in terms of the funding? If you didn't have the district.
Sure. If we'd have one to take its place, or the city would take on that obligation. So we would just sign a new interlocal with either the city, or if the way we've structured it for the ballot initiative is to create our own Riverton Law Enforcement Service Area.
I want to just make note to, in some of the notes of the report, Bill, that you had mentioned, it says, it is important to note that the commitment to add these officers, which is, I think, the two at the first phase, an additional one on the second phase, is a separate agreement from the resource allocation method for future officers. Through this agreement, the board is potentially setting a precedent that in the CDA negotiations, the board commits to funding officers in a precinct as part of a revenue sharing agreement, rather than having those officers allocated based on a new Slavisa-wide allocation formula. So I think that we need to discuss that as, I mean, we've talked about the silo myth and all that. This is a separate issue, and I think we need to come back and make that determination. If we're going to stick with this, then we've almost got to,
right,
to rely on that, rather than just saying, you know what, we're going to just throw those officers. Even though you anticipate the revenue coming in, I'm a little uncomfortable just committing officers to go there when we haven't gone through the proper allocation method.
Good point.
I think that's a healthy discussion. Our timing on this allows that discussion to take place by the board at the next meeting. Can somebody help me out on timing?
I'm a little sheepish on the
time. Well, I don't know. My name is Randy Sant. I serve as a consultant to Washington City on this particular project. What we were hoping would be that at your next board meeting, you would be able to adopt the actual interlocal agreement with the terms and conditions in that. I think a couple of things that could be put in that interlocal agreement. Obviously, I agree with the discussion that this decision made by Riverton is going to take, if it does happen, will take effect before you even give any increment. My understanding is you'll probably put a provision in there anyway that if the city were to leave, that they would have to pay back whatever happened. I think the second thing, as far as tax increases that might happen in the future, redevelopment agencies are not allowed to take any future tax increase unless the district approves it. So our analysis has always been based on what the level is today, not in the future. But I think that what we would like to have happen, if we could, is we could get this interlocal in place. The developer in this particular case has to close on this property the end of September, and then we have a 30-day challenge period we have to go through. So the agreement's going to cover them that in the event something should happen, then most likely the city's going to have to take over any increase of revenue that may or may not be there. But as far as timing, Mr. Chair, we would like to see it passed at your September meeting.
All right. Well, let me ask this, you two gentlemen. Is there an opportunity before the next meeting that we three can get together, maybe other members of Thursday,
Do we need to?
Could we just do it at the next Slavisa meeting?
Well,
that's the 15th.
They would like an interlocal.
I think if you schedule it before you adopted the interlocal agreement, but I think what we're hoping is that the interlocal will set some terms and conditions in there. One thing I suggested to both Zach and Andrew when we were talking about this third officer and this breakup and all that would be that we could put in the agreement that in the event an additional officer is needed in 5, 7, 10 years, the percentages could adjust at that point in time.
Well, okay, I understand what you're saying now. I think we can probably work on an interlocal and share it with you prior to the next meeting and see if it's something that will sell.
I'd also like to know, in terms of phase one, phase two, when is phase one going to be completed? When's phase two going to be completed? Did it have that on there? When's it completed?
It has it in the description. I know I can get that for you. I have the numbers back in the office here. But I believe
Was it 2019 was phase one?
2019, 2020 is what we anticipate to be phase one. Phase two is an office, more or less, absorption. That could come on as early as 2025, potentially, depending on what they do with it. But we're having in phase one, we're showing total build out in our analysis in 2021, but that may slip to 2025. And I think in this analysis, they were thinking that third officer may have to come in year 5 or 7.
Mr. Chair, we don't have a quorum.
Right, let the record show that we don't have a quorum. We're welcome to stick around and talk about governing board composition, which can wait. Go ahead.
Just a quick one. I don't know what page it is. I think it's page 5 of the, not including the agenda. There's a chart that says total project looks like this. And if you look at that chart, this far side, it shows the number of officers. So it shows that the third officer would start in 2034, which is year 15 of the project. Year one would be 2020. That would be when two officers would start, according to this. And so that looks like what the anticipation is that went into this.
And Andrew and I really worked hard, and with Randy personally, to make sure that whatever the demands of the CDA are not going to erode the current service level of Riverton. No matter what happens in the future, no matter if right. Riverton, you know, their calls go up greatly, or, you know, in a year or whatever. And we're trying to keep both of them separate. What the current silo method, you know, what we're talking about here with the tax increases and the CDA different, instead of lumping them together.
Well, for me to feel comfortable, I don't want to commit the district to allocating officers. I mean, if you've got a chart there, I say we deal with it on the year that they come eligible for it.
Correct.
Or if we continue this system, they will work in the allocation method just like all the municipalities. And if you qualify for officers, you get officers. And I think that's the process that we followed. And unless the board wants to change that, and I personally don't want to change it. I think we follow what the protocol has been. And if you don't, because we haven't made exceptions, you start making exceptions, and you're gonna have a lot of people knocking on your door wanting more officers and not falling in the allocation method. So, anyway.
Sure, right, well,
I move that we adjourn our.
Well, we can't do that. Well, just this meeting's dissolved.
It deteriorated.
I feel like I'm fading away.
What's that?
I feel like I'm fading away.